Step 9 is about making amends, and step 9, specifically spiritually, is about discipline. And can I tell you a story? Thank you. Somebody said yes down here, but they're all like looking down at something. Is that your phone? Someone said yes. Anyway, I'm going to tell you a story. A few years ago, our band, we quit in 2008 when I moved up here to be in ministry, and our band dissolved. And since then, we said we quit, but we really haven't quit. We play reunion shows like crazy. And we went back for a reunion show at this summertime, and I walked to this place called Runza, which is a terrible restaurant. Never eat there if you're in Nebraska. Just don't do it. Okay, ooh. My wife loves it, I hate it, but I'm going to tell you, don't eat there. I go to Runza and I see this man named Travis, and what you need to know about Travis is Travis and I, when I was a freshman, he had a truck, and he was a freshman, but he had a farm permit that allowed him to drive from the farm into school. You know what that is? Yeah. Yeah, you get it when you're 14, exactly. And so I, in my genius scheming, told myself, I need to get this guy to drive me to lunch every day. And he tells me it's illegal. He tells me he can't carry passengers legally and tells me he can't. And I said, who's going to know? Don't worry about that. It's not my license on the line, it's yours. Don't worry about that. Right? So I begin to use Travis in this very, pretty terrible way. And then I started inviting my friends into this ride share situation. And Travis was kind of an outcast, and he felt a sense of community through this. We wanted nothing to do with Travis other than his truck. And so we endured him as long as he took us to McDonald's. Well, I run into this guy a few years ago, and he's all grown up. He looks like he's lived a pretty rough life, and I just said, Travis? And he's like, yeah, man, how are you? And we start shooting the breeze, and God just starts pressing into my heart. He said, you treated this dude like trash. You used him and threw him away and didn't want anything to do with him outside of what you could get out of him in terms of a ride. You need to go and apologize to him. You need to find him, and you need to apologize to him. And this is back in the day when I had Facebook, when it was cool. It's never been cool, just so you know. All right? This is back in the day when I had Facebook. And so I get on Facebook, and I type this dude a huge message. And it was a message of amends. It was a message of exposing my terrible heart to him. He didn't know any of it. But when God spoke and said, this is a person that you've wronged, whether he understands it or not, you need to clear this off your plate. You need to get this off your chest. You need to do this. And what I could have done is said, no, God, I'm not going to do that. And Travis wouldn't have known the wiser. Travis would have been just fine. He sends back this incredible, gracious message. And he said, you know what? That wasn't how I viewed that at all. I didn't see that. I didn't experience that. No harm, no foul, buddy. I was met with grace. But what it took was the spiritual discipline. It took discipline to say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you're asking me to do, even though it's completely uncomfortable, it's completely foreign, and it could wound this person, it could hurt this person to, wait, Adam didn't like me? You know, because I have a lot of sway with people like that, right? But it took that discipline. It took listening to God. It took moving out of the way when God said, you need to move, and putting my own fears and things aside and saying, I do need to make this right for myself first, and for him, second. That's what you're about to hear. Caleb, knock it out of the park, man. Yeah.
Good morning. So I'm going to go a little off the rails. Big surprise with me. And I want to give you the framework for what I hope to speak about today. And the reason that I want to give that to you is that I literally got it 20 minutes ago. Step 9 is not foreign to me. The process of amends is not something that I haven't done or lived or worked towards or asked God to make available to me. But as I went through the process of building this teaching. Everything that I have written down, I agree with, but none of it felt right. And so I came in this morning and I talked to Adam, and if you want further clarification why Adam has to be here, why our lead pastor, although it is beautiful that he went on sabbatical and got refreshed, and that is something that we have to do and need to do, when he is here, we are whole. Because in two sentences, he showed me what I was missing. He showed me the framework of a sermon I've been working on for weeks that I just couldn't find the edges of. So step nine says, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. What I hope to get across to you is that what step nine is really about is the discipline of love in action. And what I mean by that is that love does not come to us easily or naturally. At least the love that God tells us to give to other people. And only through discipline, only through working it, do we condition ourselves to act as God wants us to be the way that God wants us to have conscious contact with God and move forward when he says so. When we chose to do these steps, I immediately jumped on step three and step six, which I've taught. And I looked at step nine and went, I don't think so. Even though God had his thumb on me and said, really? And it took weeks for me to get to a place to say, yeah, I think I need to do this one. I think this needs to be me. And I think the reason that I'm so uncomfortable with step nine is the same reason any of you would be comfortable with this process. Why do we make amends? That's a question. To fix what's wrong, to be forgiven. Anything else? You know, through this process that we've been talking about during the series, we are working on moving towards God. We're asking for guidance and leading. We're putting ourselves in right relationship with God, which is behind God, which is following God. But in this process, if we only focus on ourselves and not those around us, specifically the people who we have harmed, who we have damaged, who we have affected wrongly, I don't believe that you can go farther. I can't believe that I can move farther if I don't take into account everyone else. I believe it's Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Am I right on that, guys? Sure. Woohoo, it is Matthew. I didn't write down Matthew. I'll read it off the screen, so it's slightly different. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. God is saying there that even though you seek him, even though you move towards him, even though you desire him, if there's wreckage in your wake, deal with it. In step eight, we list the people that we have hurt. And I'm going to make this statement really just blatant. This is not just for addicts. If you're sitting here and going, this process and these steps are only for those people, open your ears and listen to what I'm saying. This is not just for addicts, because every one of you is human. Every one of you has done this. Every one of you has hurt somebody. If you say you haven't, pay attention. So in step 8, we make this list of people that we have caused damage and we become willing to make amends. We're shown the love of God through the wreckage that we have caused in other people's lives. That's a hard thing to say. That's a hard thing for me to swallow, that through the admission that I have jacked up other people, I see where God is moving in myself. So in step 8, we have this act of love of saying, God, I'm willing to make this amend. I know that I have damaged these people around me. But in step 9, it's the discipline of the thing. It's the act. It's the process of moving forward. In John 13:34, it says, love one another as I have loved you. This process is not about self. This process is about others. This process is about owning our crap and moving forward. We have to reach out and allow God to heal wounds if we are to move forward. Because in all reality, you can't do a thing about the hurt you caused somebody else. Only God can. Understand that this process of making amends is the process of repentance. We must repent of the sin, of the damage, of the existing wounds. But in all reality, not only to God, but to the person that we've hurt. God calls us to live in community. God calls us to work and love and deal with each other in this place of wholeness and family. And sometimes that's painful, and sometimes that's this process that makes us all really squeamish. But when we make amends, we have to have love for the other person. This needs to be the center of the process. This needs to be the center or the core of why we're doing this. This is not a step of self-preservation. I have friends that if they listen to this sermon later, they're probably going to be a little upset with me about this statement. And why I say that is this is not a step of self-preservation. This is not a step where I go to somebody and do this halfway. I've heard people in the past say, when their step references them or others, harm to them or others, they group themselves as others. And they say that if this is going to cause me harm, I'm not going to do it. Now here's the deal. If you know you need to make amends to somebody and you feel like you might be physically damaged in that process, talk to God. God will give you answers. God will give you direction. But if your version of harm is the fact that they might bring up the crap you caused in their world and you might be uncomfortable with that or feel bad about that, that's not harm. I speak passionately about this because I have done this. I have caused harm. I have caused wreckage. If you guys haven't been here for my past two times of speaking, my addictions and my way of existing in the world hurt other people. As plain as day. This is not a step. This one's hard. This is not a step of argument or self-protection. What I mean by that is we don't go forward to somebody and say, hey, I'm really sorry that I did all of these things. But, you know, I was really drunk. There is no unless. There is no but in this step. Cindy pointed out that a lot of times people will come into this step and say, I'm really sorry that you took what I did this way. Uh-uh. however someone took you is on you. And I know that that sounds crazy, and I know that you think, no, that ain't right. But let's face facts. If you've hurt somebody, you have a hand in it. This step is not about what someone did to you. This step is about what you've done to other people. This is not a step of self-deprecation or self-flagellation. We don't come in whipping ourselves or groveling at the feet of a person. There's no earnest or honesty in that. We come forward humbly. This is a time to humbly own your crap. This is a time to give that other person the ability to deal. And honestly, emotionally, what that's going to feel like to you is spreading your legs and waiting for the kick. But you probably deserve it. I don't know. I don't know where you guys are at with this. But I know the first two times I did amends, any time I've said I'm sorry in the past, there's some form of self-preservation involved. There's some form of me involved. There's some form of, I'll show you this, but I'm not going to show you this. I'm going to hold my cards because you might hurt me. Or you might take this wrong. Or I can't control how you think about me if I give you all of this information. But in all reality, this is about heart posture. Do you guys know what I mean by that? This is about where are you at on the inside? What's actually driving you to do these things? Are you just checking something off of a list? Or do you earnestly and honestly and remorsefully know why you're making the amend? Do you know why you're moving towards these things? In Colossians 3:13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against somebody. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There has been times with this that I have had to make amends to people who were not clean and shiny in my world. But the process and the discipline of the love of God that I went to them and said, hey, I wrecked your world. I am sorry. In that same process, I understood that just as I hurt them, they hurt me. I don't expect things from them. I don't expect them to do anything in my world. Because in all reality, this is between me and God. Yes, I've hurt them. Yes, I've harmed them. But they have their own walk and I have mine. I can't force or persuade or do anything in their world. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to love. In an email I sent out earlier in this week, I talked about the process of asking forgiveness. And anybody who's sat in a 12-step group is shuddering right now. Because in all reality, when we ask forgiveness, it can be perceived as I am demanding you to do something for me. I'm putting the pressure on you to make changes in my world. Louise pointed out it's like going to the bank and asking them to forgive a loan that you asked for instead of paying off the loan. We can hope for forgiveness. Not only is that okay, but I think that's the God thing. I think the hope of forgiveness and the hope of reconciliation is what God calls us to have in this process. But we cannot demand. We cannot expect. I have a note, so I'm rabbit trail. Sorry. We've caused wounds in people's lives. I don't care where you're at. You've done it. We've all done it. We've all said hurtful things. We've all done hurtful things. Some of us more than others. And we've caused people that wreckage and that damage and that harm. My wife does this really funny thing that I swear no one else does, so I'm going to ask you if you guys do this. We'll be at home, and I'll notice like a bruise on her leg or her arm. I'd say, "Where'd you get that bruise?" She's like, "I don't know." And she pushes on it to try to remember where she got the bruise. Does anyone do this? Okay, you're not crazy, honey. I am. I didn't realize this was a thing. Earth shattered. But she does this, and she pushes on this bruise to figure out where it came from. But my thought goes to what would happen if she kept pushing on the bruise. It'd never heal. It'd never change. It might get worse. I fully believe that the process of amends is the process of pushing on the bruise to remember the pain and then letting it go and letting it heal. I think so often the people that we have caused wreckage in our lives or in their lives have no choice but to continually aggravate the wound. They feel like they have no place but to continually open that wound and make it fester. And understand that's not on them. That's on us. This week, I felt God saying I was ready to move forward with amends with some people in my life. And I thought I would have some mass revelation on this, and I didn't. Because what really happened is I heard from God, I talked to my wife, and I made the first step to reach out to somebody to make amends. And I didn't receive anything back. Not a yes or a no, just no contact. And that's fine. That's totally okay. Because as my wife pointed out, that the wreckage I caused in that person's life didn't just affect me, wasn't just about me, it was about the loss in somebody else's life. It was about the loss of not only some format of a relationship in my world, but multiples around me. We're not alone. Our actions don't just affect us. We have to understand that although there are intrinsic benefits to our personal and emotional state, we cannot make amends if the process will damage other people. The person we're making amends to, the people around them. When I talk about others, realize it's not just on their side of the line, it's also on yours. A few years back, I was working, I honestly don't even remember what the gig was. I was working some theater show, and there was a barbecue at the park after this event. And a former relationship of mine was in Laramie for this thing. And she's adamantly somebody I needed to make amends to. So when the event was over, I thought, this has got to be a God thing. Here we go. So I just grabbed her and made my amend. I humbly asked and apologized for the issues I caused in her world. I hoped for forgiveness, and it was received well. And I found that this person, who I had no connection with anymore, has made these massive leaps and bounds in their world with God, which was just a beautiful thing to be a part of. But I was so anxious to make this step because I knew that I had to, I skipped other steps. See, I didn't clear this with my wife before I went to an ex-girlfriend and made amends. Anybody cringing yet? Yeah, should. So I came home and I said, "Hun, I made amends to this person," and I was really excited about it, and I was a little lost why she was angry with me. And I took a step back and realized the person who should have been most important, who I've made amends to not only before, but recently, my wife, I didn't account for in this process. And through the process of amends, I opened old wounds in her world. We are not alone in this process. We don't affect just one person. We affect the world around us. Craig mentioned to me this week that in this process of amends, I'm at step 8 with some people and I'm at step 9 with others. I am willful to make amends in certain places that I have caused damage, but I'm not at step 9 because of this caveat, because of causing damage. Because in all reality, if I were to walk into this person's world and make amends to any of these people that I cannot and will not make amends with until God gives me the go-ahead, I can wreck their world worse. We're called not to make people stumble. We're called not to be a stumbling block in people's lives. 1 Corinthians 8:9, "But take care that this is the right of yours. Do not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." If we have damaged somebody specifically to the point of weakness, if we have damaged that person to the place that the process of making amends would damage them farther, we cannot screw with their world more. Before church, I was talking to Louise and Cindy, and we were talking about this process, and the comment came up that there are people that the wherever possible becomes very obvious, and then the hurt them and others start to hold hands. That in some people's lives, I can't find them. I can't track them down to make amends. And in some people's lives, if I make the amends, I'm just throwing grenades to make myself feel better. And in an email from Louise earlier in the week, she pointed out the fact that if you can't make amends to that person, maybe your amend needs to be, how do you treat people in the future? So much of my addiction had to do with control and self, but in all reality, it played out in the relationships I had with women. My addiction to pornography, my addiction to sex, my addiction to control completely annihilated relationships I had with people. And it wasn't just women. I caused that wreckage in friends' lives, men and women and whoever it might have been. But my heart breaks for the things that I did. So if I can't make a direct amend, God still calls me to move forward. God still calls me to change my interaction, to change my belief, to have the discipline of the love of God, to discipline myself to the place where I no longer throw grenades and I no longer drop bombs in people's worlds because I think I'm the center of the universe, but to realize that God says that's not correct, that God says, leave your sacrifice here, reconcile, and then come back. The hurt we caused or undone amends are like anchors tied to a boat. Until we deal with them, they slow us down. They make us inoperable. Making our amends earnestly and honestly moves us two steps closer to God. We don't forget the impact of the pain, but we are able to move forward and become more useful. Making an amend is the discipline of the heart posture of God. Matthew 5, 8, and 9. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. In Romans 12, 1, God asks us to offer ourselves as a holy sacrifice. I'm going to use the term goat, because isn't that what you used last week? Was goat, Sherry? Or did you say lamb? A goat? We'll go goat. Do you think when people offered sacrifices in the Old Testament that they brought a damaged animal with a festering wound? Or they brought a goat who continually hurt other goats to be sacrificed? Yeah. The pit speaks truth. They bring the purest animal. They bring the wholest animal for sacrifice because God wants the best of us. So if I'm called in Matthew to bring myself as a living sacrifice, but in all honesty, I have open and festering wounds, or I'm causing consistent damage to others, what kind of a sacrifice am I giving to God? When God has given me the steps to heal, when God has given me the steps to move forward and to stop causing wreckage in other people's worlds, why would I give that person as the sacrifice and not the whole vision of myself that God has given me? Cindy so beautifully put it last week that love is like a muscle. And if we don't use it, if we don't exercise it, it depletes. It disintegrates. We can't exercise the love of God without discipline. If we don't discipline ourselves to see the world through the lens that God has given us, we're missing the point. The step is a process of discipline, of love in action, of putting the pain of others before the pride of self. I made myself a note that says, what did God teach you this week? It is exciting to me to realize that I'm nowhere near the end. It is exciting to me to realize that I have a very long way to go. But God's given me the map. God's given me the answers to get to the place where I need to be. Adam called me 2 days ago and was excited about playing Crown Him because he's never played it before, and we did it just on Easter. And we were talking, and this was right after I had an interaction with two of my staff members who walked in the door ready for a fight. Like somebody crapped in their Cheerios, they came to work, and were just not in a good spot. They weren't in a good place. And as we went through the information for a following event, and the realizations became made that they missed some notes, and they had missed a few things, they became more aggravated and more angry and more difficult to deal with. And my initial desire was to do what I used to do and be a jerk. Call them out, downdress them, make a very valid point that they were not doing their jobs. And as I left the venue and as I was going home from work, I talked with my wife, and that's at the same time I talked to Adam, and I started to think about the fact that I didn't crap in their Cheerios. That wasn't me. But that doesn't mean that God didn't put it on my heart that I needed to make their day more manageable. And through small steps, through small acknowledgments of where they were that day, it seemed that it switched where their world was. It seemed that they made it through the rest of their shift without throwing grenades. That wasn't me. I was and am at times a confrontational person. I used to pride myself heavily on the fact that I was that guy. But the understanding that they have just as much crap in their world that I have in mine allows God to talk to me and say, hey, help, don't harm. Move, don't stop. Step 9 has an unforeseen effect that allows us to see that we are all damaged. We've all hurt. We've all caused pain. We've all been on the other side of that line. It's the desire of Christ that we love one another through these hurts and pains. We see that nobody has this figured out. Everyone causes wreckage, but it's how we decide to deal with that that shows the love of God. How we decide to deal with the wake of our past is how God works through us. Do we repent of our issues and do our best to clean our side of the street? Do our best to move towards God. Do our best to give somebody the steps to heal when we have so often hurt. Or do you just keep pulling pins and throwing grenades? We know what God calls us to, but do we ever do it? Do we ever take the steps to change? Do we ever use the process of discipline to rid ourselves of the crap we can't get rid of? Making amends is a beautiful and holy thing to do, but what it shows us is that God has given us work to do. I don't naturally come by the love that God calls me to have. I don't naturally think the way God calls me to think. If I do what comes natural, I talked about it in step 3 and 6. What comes natural is sinful nature. What comes natural to me is dropping bombs in people's worlds, putting myself first and letting the rest of the world stay behind me. But if I listen to God, if I listen to Scripture, and I move in the direction God wants, and I continually do it till it's no longer an exercise, it's natural, I get 2 steps closer to that vision that God has for me. That's all I got. I'm going to pray. And I think we have people that are going to come down and pray with you. Look, this step looks ugly and hard. And I get that. This process of leaving self behind and focusing on others is difficult, painful, whatever you want to call it. But it's necessary. God calls us to be different. God calls us to move forward. Yeah.
Caleb's doing an incredible job. There's nothing I need to come clean up, but here's something the Spirit keeps pressing into my heart as I'm listening to him. Jesus, people, pay attention. This amends process, sometimes we have wounded people and we don't know it. Do you know that? And so the people then will take that wound, and that is real in their world, and it hurts them in their world, and it festers, and then all of a sudden relationship is lost, or relationship is damaged, or something is terribly wrong, and you don't know it. Wounded Jesus people, listen up. You need to go to that person scripturally. When someone has sinned against you, you need to go to them and let them know. That's what Scripture teaches. Scripture also teaches that Jesus people are forgiving people. Yes? But it can't happen unless that conversation happens, and that's the discipline that we're talking about today. So Jesus people, this well-rounded going and making amends to one another, it's real. And if you think this isn't for you because it's just for the 12-step population, that's almost cursed. Baloney. Adam's back. But that's very real. Amends on all sides, and sometimes we just don't get that we bowl over people and bulldoze people, and we need you on the other side of that to come and help gently restore that and allow that amends to actually make and happen. Amen.
Okay. Cool. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for the process of discipline. I thank you for the process of change. I thank you for consistently and adamantly making noise in my world to remind me that I've not made it, that I need to keep moving, that you have more for me. God, move these people. This is not a Sunday group. This is a community of people who interact in the rest of the week with the rest of the world. God, show the world you through them. If we are frozen, God, melt us. Move us. If we are stuck, help us. We thank you for everything you do in our worlds. Amen.